This afternoon, this message goes out to Roger Banegas. He's from Central America. It also goes out to all of our friends there in Central America who are believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. They're reading the messages that's preached from this pulpit. They take the messages in English and they're translating them into Spanish, and then they read them. I just wanted you to know that. So you have friends in Central America. Our message this afternoon is about Lazarus. And in John chapter 11 and verse 45, the scripture says, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." This afternoon, our message is entitled, "Lazarus Risen, a picture of God's irresistible grace." The soul that hears the voice of the Son of God, though he never heard it before, knows the sound of the shepherd's voice. When the Savior speaks to a sinner, a sinner dead in trespasses and in sins, he speaks with a loud voice. Our Lord went to the tomb of Lazarus, and the scripture says he spoke with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." A sinner is dead in trespasses and in sins, and he's dead. Unless the sinner hears a voice from Almighty God, a voice from the very mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will remain dead in his sins. But when our Lord went to this tomb and he spoke those words, "Lazarus, come forth," Lazarus came alive. This afternoon, each of you that's hearing my voice, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a voice that is unlike any other voice you've ever heard. Because in coming to know God, you've never heard a voice before. You wouldn't know what a voice is. But when God speaks our name, we hear that voice. Because like turning a switch that turns on the lights in this room, when you flip that switch, the lights come on because energy is applied to the lights. A lost sinner needs supernatural power. He needs power not from a preacher, not from even the preaching of the gospel of Christ. He needs the power of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, to come and to quicken us and make us alive. Oh, how we love to preach the Word of God. How we love to hear preachers stand and declare the Word of God with such boldness, with no fear within their heart, but they proclaim it with all that God has for them to declare it with. Some preachers have a PhD. Some of them have a DD. Some of them have a THD. Some of them are taught of Christ himself. The power of the preacher's voice is given by God. But the effectiveness of the Word of God is that which opens men's hearts. And that's what happened to Lazarus when our Lord spoke a loud voice. He spoke a powerful voice, a voice that had more power than any other sound in the entire world. Lazarus had known our Lord. Other people had heard our Lord's words. But when our Lord spoke Lazarus' name, it was a powerful voice. The day that our Lord spoke your name, it was a powerful voice. It was no ordinary voice. It was a voice of great power. Revelation 1, verse 18 says that our Lord has the keys of hell and death. Our Lord Jesus Christ holds the hearts and the souls and the salvation of every one of His people in His hand. And it is depending upon our Lord speaking your name, my name, and bringing us to life. 1,000 men could have come before that tomb and said, Lazarus, Lazarus. You take 100 voices singing a sacred song sounds mighty good. You could have taken 1,000 preachers saying the name Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus would have been dead and continued in his death. But when the Lord spoke that word the first time, Lazarus, come forth, the power of Almighty God came forth and quickened him and brought him back to life. That's the power that we need this morning. That's the power that America needs this morning. This is the power that every child of God needs to hear the voice of Almighty God with a loud and powerful voice. Even if our Lord spoke a small voice, a quiet tone from His voice, the reaction would have been the same. It was not the volume that brought Lazarus from the tomb. It was who spoke the word. Preachers are preachers. They're given, sent out by God. But like Paul's message was a message, a special message. Paul was endowed with a message that other preachers of his time did not have. The apostle Paul had power to go and to preach and declare and to do a ministry that other ministers of that day could not preach, could not perform, because he had the power behind him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sacred preachers, preachers of the gospel of Christ, they stand and preach the word of God as God has given them the power and the ability. 1,000 preachers, once again, standing at the tomb of Lazarus, good and bad preachers, educated and uneducated preachers, could not have performed what our Lord said in His voice. Whether it's loud or whether it's a small voice, the reaction is the same if it comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I would like to say this evening that the voice of our Lord is a personal voice that comes to each of us. This voice is like that voice that said unto Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Our Lord did not say at that particular time, why don't you come down? Our Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as He calls us unto the grace of God, calls us by our name. Some of us are known by our name, Bill. Some of us are known by our name, Gerald. Some of us are named of other common names, Mark, Luke, Paul. It doesn't make any difference what our name is in this life. What makes the difference is the intention of Almighty God toward you. It was Zacchaeus that our Lord came to dwell in his house. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. For today I must dwell in thy house. It should be the hope of every person that our Lord Jesus Christ would come and call your name and say those very words, make haste, for today I dwell in your house. That house is not casa. It's not that word that means dwelling. It's not that word that means home. But in this case, this word house means in the dwelling where you are. It's not my house, the house with the air conditioning bills, but it's the house where God will come and fellowship with me and dwell with me and feed me and fellowship with the grace of God throughout the day and throughout the night. Zacchaeus, make haste, for today I must dwell in your house. May God dwell within our house today. May God come and not only dwell, but to stay forever within us and speak words of great comfort. This afternoon, there is a responsibility of every church to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the responsibility of every gospel preacher to preach the gospel to all men as God gives him the opportunity. It is the responsibility of all who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commanded that all men everywhere repent. But there is something that I know that the scriptures say. I know that there is some things that the scripture teaches about responsibility. Though I am responsible, I know that all are responsible before God to believe that which is plainly revealed in the Word. And I know that all who believe on Christ shall be saved. Acts 16 and 31. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And I know that no man by nature can or will come to Christ. Fallen men has neither the desire nor the ability to come to Christ. John 5 in verse 40 says, and he will not come unto me that ye might have life. We're not forbidding people to come. We have pews to spare. It's that they will not come. And coming to God, the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ beckons his people, but they will not come until that voice of our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to them. I know it is within the realm of man's, it is not in the realm of man's power. It is not within the scope of man's heart a desire to come to Christ. Unless God does for a sinner what he cannot do for himself, he will perish. None can believe except God himself creates faith in them and calls them to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one other thing that I know that the scripture teaches. And we know that saving faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. This afternoon is the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one can come. Anyone may come. Someone shall come. The scripture teaches us one more thing. People shall be willing in the day of his power, thy power. And all who do come to him shall be saved forever. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee. I'm not in a tomb this afternoon. I'm not cold and lifeless in a tomb this afternoon, and neither are you. But if we are outside of Christ, we are like that person who lays in a tomb, lifeless, cold, stiff, because there is no life, physical life in him. Every man is likened unto that person who is dead in this life physically. We are dead in ourselves toward God. We have no life in us toward God, and we need the work of the Holy Spirit to change that. There are many pictures of effectual calling and irresistible grace in the Scripture. One of the most instructive pictures I find here in John chapter 11, where Lazarus was dead. He was dead. Had no life in that man. And the Lord knew that he had no life. But for the glory of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ brought him to life. There are five things now this afternoon I want you to take home about Lazarus. I want you to see, first of all, this afternoon, Lazarus' condition. Lazarus' condition is plainly declared in John 11:14. Lazarus is dead. Our Lord said he was dead. Our Lord waited until Lazarus died that the glory of God may be manifested. He was dead. There was no life. No, there is nothing left in him. That is the state of all human beings by nature, spiritual dead, dead in trespasses and in sins, and incapable of either knowing or changing their condition before God. The Scripture says in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. What do we know about death? Death cannot move toward God. The dead have neither the will or the ability to come to Christ. The dead do not desire God's salvation. The dead cannot see. The dead cannot understand. The dead must be raised from death to life by the power of God and the resurrection of the new birth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they shall hear, shall live. The hope of every man is that God would speak your name, that God would raise us from death to life and bring us into a relationship in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I want us to think about Lazarus is his calling. His calling. In Luke chapter 11, verse 43, you will see Lazarus and his calling. His calling was from none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is with you this afternoon and all those who are listening to me. Our calling has to be that of Christ himself, not a church, not a form of religion, not a ritual that we would go through, religious ritual, but our calling comes effectually from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the very hand of Almighty God. Lazarus experienced something that so many know nothing about. Lazarus had already experienced a general call. He knew the Lord before he died. He knew of him. He'd heard the message before. But Lazarus didn't just need a general call. As we in this life, a congregation just doesn't need just to hear a gospel message and an invitation given and a persuasive minister to plead with you to come and give your heart to God. That's what we call a general call. It goes out publicly to everyone. But all the general calls are ineffective of bringing us into the presence of Almighty God. Bring us to an understanding. Bringing us into a vital union with our Lord Jesus Christ. As Lazarus, so are we this afternoon. We need a particular call. A general call goes so far. It's a good sounding message, but a general call has never saved one soul. Not one soul. Until the Spirit of call, the Spirit of God calls you, an effectual call, effectual calling of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking your name, making you alive in God, in Christ Jesus, we are still in our sins. How many churches do we have in this city of Houston, Texas this morning? How many gospel messages went out this morning? How many general calls were made? How many persuasive arguments were made this morning to persuade someone to give up his sin and come to God? I hope a lot. I hope a lot. But I do know this, that any and every persuasive message and call, general call to a public to come to God is ineffective. It will never bring man to salvation. Only the work of Almighty God, the work of Christ on the cross, and the effectual call of Christ Himself will bring us into salvation. Regeneration doesn't come about through a general call. Regeneration comes about through an effectual call of God Himself. God has not depended upon preachers to save people. He has brought preachers into the world to feed the sheep of His congregations. But He's never intended for a preacher to save one soul. One soul. Some years ago, we were in good friends with a lot of different preachers, Southern Baptists particularly, where they have to turn in a report on a weekly basis of how many people were converted, how many people were baptized, how many people did this, and how many people did that. Well, all in good, I suppose. But it is a far cry from the work of Almighty God of bringing men into salvation, calling them and bringing them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing I want you to see about Lazarus is his conversion. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. When Lazarus heard the voice of God, he came alive and he began to scramble, I suppose, getting up from where he was laying. And he came out and he had a napkin over his face. He was bound in grave clothes. In the Gnostic tradition of that time, they would wrap a shroud around you. It was not just a spread over you. They bound you in a cloth. So Lazarus wasn't really going too far. He might have been able to hobble, but not too far. Because he was bound. Today, in our conversion, we are regenerated. But now, in this process of God's work, we are converted to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're brought to the knowledge of God and through the studying of the Scripture and hearing gospel preachers deliver the Word of God. Lazarus started his conversion. He became alive, and then he came forth from the tomb bound. The preaching of the gospel, folks, is taking off the grave clothes. It's taking off the imperception, the misunderstandings about what truth is, and bringing our minds and hearts in relationship to God and what God actually teaches us. Now that's the third thing The fourth thing is about Lazarus, I want you to remember, is his communion. After regeneration, his calling, we find something else takes place in our lives and in the life of Lazarus. We have communion. Then 6 days after the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, they made a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them at the table with him. After so many days, our Lord came back to Bethany, and he went to Lazarus' house, and the scripture is telling us that Lazarus was there, and they made a supper, and the Lord came. And there's two things that I want you to think about. It was Lazarus' house. It was Lazarus' table. But now something is completely different in the life of this man. Lazarus truly was the owner and had the table. But now the Lord is the master of the house. And this is what happens in the life of those that God brings into a relationship to himself. We not only start believing, but we start communing with our Lord Jesus Christ. They sat at the table, and the Lord is the head of that table. He is the master of not only of the casa, but of the master of the house that Lazarus lived within. He was now the controller. He was the master of the heart of Lazarus. So now the Lord is the special guest into the house of Lazarus. The fifth thing and the last now that I want you to see about Lazarus, and that is his conflict. This is a part of the message that I want you to get. Once Lazarus was called, once Lazarus was converted, once Lazarus was brought back into the community, once he was loved around his family again, his life was changed. His life was changed in the point that now he began to suffer the persecution that will come in knowing and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was said in the scripture that they sought to kill him because he had been blessed of our Lord, but the Lord did not bless anyone else. People believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ because of what happened to Lazarus. Someone told me this week, end this message with a positive note. End it with a positive note. I said, okay, I will. The positive note is found in John 16:33, where our Lord says, I have overcome the world. Though this life may be a life of conflict in knowing our Lord Jesus Christ, yet the message today is this, that our Lord has overcome the world. And in another part of the scripture, in the Apostle Paul in Galatians, Paul talks about that everything that has been done by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not for me to put together a life for myself. It is that our Lord has put one together for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This idea of the Christian life, I think, sometimes gets turned upside down. We don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ to have a happy and fulfilled life. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him and to give him praise and honor in this life, knowing that conflict will probably come to this casa, to this life. Life in Christ means conflict. But always remember this one thing, if you receive nothing else from this message this afternoon is that my life is not mine anymore. It is Christ and Christ alone. It's not what happens in this life to me. It's the life that God has prepared for me in glory. That is what brings us to this realization of being a Christian, that God has died for me. He has saved me. He has redeemed me. And He has prepared for me a place in heaven. May God bless you this afternoon. May God bless this message to your hearts. Amen.